And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Want to thank the Law Group here in Wilmington this morning for their continued support. You can visit them at lawgroupnc.com. More details on them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, as we were tracking yesterday and have been covering for the last day or so, more civil unrest unfolding in the city streets of Los Angeles yesterday as so-called peaceful protesters marched their way throughout the city throughout the day. And as we have seen many times, as it is a pretty typical with these situations, as soon as nightfall comes, that is when insanity ensues. Here is just one video last night of individuals looting a store, a couple of different stores throughout the city streets of Los Angeles. Reports of an Apple store being looted. Not immediately clear what kind of store this is. Looks like some sort of department store being looted in Los Angeles. You can see a bunch of sneakers and clothing on the ground as individuals grab anything and everything that they can and run away. This is the typical playbook for the Democrats. Nothing provides more security to a community and that they're, of course, rallying for people who are illegally in the country by running into a clothing store and stealing shoes and clothes. Obviously, nothing could possibly show the Trump administration more that nothing could prove to the Trump administration more how serious this group is. Actually, looks like an Adidas store, actually. That is being looted here in Los Angeles last night as multiple days of protests continue. Now, a couple of things. I'm not going to spend the whole show on this because, I mean, there's really nothing new. I mean, it's the same playbook. It's the same thing that you've seen time and time again. And every time there's any sort of issue that goes on where you've got a large crowd of individuals, a large group of individuals that are fighting back against the establishment, fighting back against the man, fighting back against the administration, it's the same scene. I mean, it's rinse and repeat. It's the same playbook every time. But I did find a couple of things rather interesting, and I'm going to start with this. An interesting poll out from YouGov yesterday, and I mentioned, you know, I was hoping that somebody would do kind of a flash poll as to what the support, how the support is kind of lining up for the ongoing situation in Los Angeles. And well, to the credit of YouGov, they in fact did that yesterday. Here's the poll. Do you approve or disapprove of recent protests in Los Angeles against U.S. Immigration and Custom Enforcement? Now, this is interesting because it says, you know, protests. Doesn't say rioting, doesn't say looting, it doesn't say burning cars, of which there were many more burning cars in the city streets of Los Angeles last night. It says protesting. Interestingly enough, even with that phrasing, even with that terminology, 45% of people respondents, and by the way, there were over 4,200 people surveyed in this flash poll from YouGov, said that they disapproved. 36% said that they approved of the protests going on, and 19% were unsure. And the reason I find this interesting, it's kind of multifaceted, right? Because you've got the actual protests that are taking place, which I don't have a problem with, and I don't think the vast majority of people actually have a problem with the protests. I spent all day yesterday while I was getting things done here. I kept was watching KTLA TV out of Los Angeles. And for the vast majority of the afternoon, it was just groups of individuals roaming around the streets. Yeah, they're pissed off. Yeah, they're agitated with what they believe is unjust federal authorities moving into their city and having ICE raids take place. But it was just a regular protest, and I'm not opposed to protesting. Obviously, it's something that is protected under the Constitution. So I find these results to be very interesting, right? Because of what we covered yesterday, this concept, this idea that the left has kind of lost the narrative on this, that Yes, they can call it a peaceful protest all they want. You can turn on CNN, you can turn on MSNBC, you can listen to the word salad from Gavin Newsom or Mayor Karen Bass out of Los Angeles, and they'll tell you it's a peaceful protest. They will do their damnedest to try and masquerade the situation. But even with all of that being said, even with all of those allies coming together and trying to paint the picture that this is just, you know, just regular peaceful protest, it's obviously not working. Obviously, the images of cars burning in the city streets of Los Angeles, obviously the pictures and the videos of protesters on Sunday hauling rocks and bricks and cinder blocks and shooting fireworks at law enforcement, destroying police vehicles, attacking these individuals that are building these skirmish lines. The left has already, just within the first couple of days, has already lost the narrative on this whole thing. Right? Again, the question was not, do you approve or disapprove of riots in Los Angeles? That's not the YouGov question. The question was, do you approve or disapprove of recent protests? And because left-wing agitators and individuals that just are using this situation as an opportunity to get some free sneakers or some shirts from a local store, or in this case, a free iPhone, saw an Apple store looted last night as well, the narrative's already been lost. When 45% are disapproving of the protests, you know that it's already gone. It's already failed. And it's something that the left is not going to be able, in this case, to put the genie back in the bottle. The damage is already done. Now, last night, I would say, was probably kind of on par with Sunday. You didn't have the police situation that you did on Sunday night compared to Monday night. Law enforcement was seemingly a little bit more strategic. And again, when we say law enforcement, not talking federal officials, which we'll get into. We're talking about California Highway Patrol, CHP, or LA County Sheriff, and obviously some of the other municipal law enforcement agencies that come in to provide additional support. Right? We're not talking about federal authorities pushing these crowds back. We're talking about local law enforcement doing it. And when 45% of people already disapprove of everything that's going on, regardless of the mostly peaceful protests, then the narrative is lost. And as you break down this poll, the numbers here aren't incredibly shocking. When you look at it from a political party breakdown, 58% of Democrats approve, which is the highest number in the poll, but the disapprovals are interesting. 41% of independents disapprove. And that's really the key number that you look at. That's really kind of the real winning number in all of this. Obviously, Republicans are going to disapprove of this. Obviously, Democrats are going to approve. But where do the unaffiliated or the independent voters fall on all of this? And the answer is very clearly, they disapprove of these actions going on. The independents are saying, we don't support this. The independents are saying, we disapprove of these actions that are taking place. And again, that's not surprising. That's not shocking. When people turn on the news or people load up Facebook or Instagram or X and see a bunch of masked psychopaths standing on top of burning cars waving Mexican flags, it's not a good look. It does not express any sort of positive message for the Democrat Party. It does not push any sort of messaging forward for their political ideology and their political agenda. And I found it very interesting. Even CNN asked, they did an interview last night with the Los Angeles mayor, Karen Bass, and the question was asked specifically this, looking at political polling, looking at some of the images and pictures that have come out. The question was, are Democrats out of touch with the issue? This is how the Los Angeles mayor responded.
Are Democrats out of touch on this issue?
Well, I think if you did the polling in Los Angeles, I'm not sure it would be that way, considering we are a city of immigrants. And then people might approve that policy, but do people really approve the federal government coming in and seizing power from a state and from a city. So I drill down a little further on that poll because I do not believe that Americans support the federal intervention in a city takeover or a state takeover.
Okay, so complete and total deflection. She did not answer the question because there is no evidence. And of course, if there were evidence, we'd have the evidence because we live in an age of social media. We live in an age of smartphones. We live in an age of instant communication globally. If there was evidence of federal authorities taking over the streets of Los Angeles, we would see that. We would have those videos. We would have those pictures. So Karen Bass's deflection away from a very legitimate question asked by CNN, are Democrats out of touch on this issue, is immediately deflected into federal authorities are taking over LA. The situation on the federal side really has not significantly changed. There are federal authorities in two locations in Los Angeles, and they are there to protect two federal buildings. All of the images, all of the pictures that you see of individuals corralled in the middle of streets and law enforcement lines on either side of them, none of those individuals are federal authorities. All of those actions are taking place and being directed by local LA County law enforcement officials. It's not being done by the federal government. So Karen Bass's immediate deflection out of what is a fair question, of course, of which she doesn't want to answer, because the answer is yes. Are Democrats out of touch on this issue? The answer is unequivocally, without a doubt, yes, they are. It is not popular to watch American cities being taken over by groups of individuals, burning American flags, throwing rocks, bricks, launching fireworks at law enforcement, looting stores, and burning cars in the middle of the road. It's not a popular issue. It is not something that corrals a broad support of voters. It is very, very, very unpopular. But she's not willing to answer that question. She's not willing to actually, you know, her deflection first is, well, I think if you ask that question in Los Angeles, yeah, but we're not talking about Los Angeles. We're talking about, is the issue itself out of touch? Yes, the situation is happening in Los Angeles, sure, but this is being broadcast to the entire country. This is a major political story from the Atlantic to the Pacific. It's not just solely a Los Angeles issue. So yes, I'm sure if you polled a bunch of people in Los Angeles and asked them if they were okay with people being in the country illegally, you would probably find a very different answer. I'll concede that point to the Los Angeles mayor, sure. But the city of Los Angeles doesn't drive the national discussion. The city of Los Angeles does not determine the policy of the White House, does not determine the policy of the administration. And CNN is pointing to this CBS News YouGov poll, which is a new one. We covered the one in the month of May. We've got the new one in the month of June that shows that 54% of individuals approve of the Trump administration's program to deport illegal immigrants in the United States. It is still an overwhelming majority of American voters that say, yes, we are in favor of these policies. Yes, we are in favor of the actions taken on by this administration. It's very clear. This CBS YouGov poll for the third month now has shown these similar numbers. It is a losing issue for the left. They are absolutely out of touch on this issue. There's no argument. There's no other way that you can look at this and say that that's not the case. And it's backed up by this YouGov flash poll yesterday that once again shows that 45% of individuals disapprove of the protests that are taking place. They're not disapproving of the actions by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They're disapproving of the lawlessness that they are watching unfold on social media, on the news, and that is right in front of their very eyes. This is not a very complicated, shouldn't be, at least to me, a very complicated issue for the left. Should not be a very hard thing for them to wrap their head around. But for whatever reason, they're sticking on this. Here's the mayor in a press conference yesterday talking about ICE and how she wants to demand them to stop their operations. She's going to demand them to do so. All right, Karen Bass, what do you have to say?
Administration, and if you could speak to him, what would you say right now?
I would say stop the raids. Stop the raids, period. I would say give the power back to our governor, and if we need the National Guard, we can do it in their normal circumstances, which is the request is made local and the governor decides or not to grant that to our city.
And have you been in contact with the administration?
I have been in contact with the administration, not the president.
Right here, this
so she wants them to stop the ICE raids. But folks, this is not a state's issue. Right? When we're talking about immigration and customs enforcement, we're talking about federal authorities. There is no way that the mayor of a city, right? We're not talking about the governor anymore. We're not talking about Gavin Newsom. We'll get to him a little bit later on. But we're talking about the mayor of Los Angeles demanding that federal authorities stop doing their job. Under what jurisdiction does she believe that she holds any sort of power or authority to demand that federal officials stop their actions? Immigration law and immigration enforcement is something that is solely the responsibility of the federal government. Now, local authorities do, in fact, work hand in hand with federal immigration officials. There's been a lot of discussion here in North Carolina over the last couple of years about ICE detainers and attempts by the General Assembly to mandate that all sheriffs in all 100 counties across our state do in fact comply with these detainers. And the way that this works is pretty simple. So if you are somebody that is illegally in the country and you are charged and arrested with an unrelated crime, maybe you're drinking and driving, something of that nature, you are obviously, if you go through that process, you are arrested and held at least temporarily for your alleged actions of driving while intoxicated, driving while under the influence, whatever the charge ends up being. And if law enforcement is able to determine and unable to confirm your identity and your legal status, they reach out to the federal government. And then there is an ICE detainer in many cases that is put in place. And what that detainer is 72 hours. Federal authorities have the ability to come in and take over, not the case of the DWI, but start investigating this individual for the potential that they are illegally in the United States. And there's really not much potential there. I mean, if you take somebody in and they are unable to provide any sort of legal documentation as to who they are, they're illegally in the country. There's not much gray area there. So the federal government issues this ICE detainer, and within 72 hours, they respond to whatever jurisdiction, wherever this event happened, and they are able to take over and begin the process of looking at the legal immigration status of the individual at question and decide how they want to handle it. That's how the ICE detainer system works. It's kind of a I don't even know how to describe it, some sort of a watered down explanation of it, but that's really the basic as to what this thing is. And so local authorities do in fact work in conjunction with the federal government, but at no time does a city mayor or a town mayor have the ability, have the authority to tell federal officials, you are not allowed here. You are not allowed to conduct the job in which you were hired and legally obligated to do, which is carry out the policies of this administration as it relates to immigration. I mean, it's built into the name ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. It's literally their name. So Karen Bass can pound her fists on the table and talk about how ICE needs to leave. Guess what? It's not going to happen. And as much as they want this to take place, well, Tom Homan was on with Jesse Waters last night and proved the point that regardless of what Karen Bass wants, this isn't going to stop. ICE raids are going to continue. This administration has a very clear sight on how it wants to handle its immigration policy, and they're going to continue to do so. Here's Tom Homan last night with Jesse Waters.
Well, ICE ain't leaving. As a matter of fact, we got over 100 teams out today enforcing immigration law, and we're going to flood the zone. I've said for a month, sanctuary cities, you don't want us to arrest these bad guys that you just listed out. We could arrest them in safety and security of a county jail, but they won't let us into jail. They release them into the community, which means we got to send a whole bunch of teams in the community to find this dangerous person that don't want to be found. So sanctuary cities are going to get exactly what they don't want, more officers in the communities, and more officers in worksite. We can't arrest them in a jail, we're arresting them in the community. If we can't arrest them in the community, we're going to increase worksite enforcement operation. We're going to flood the zone. And based on what LA is doing right now, we're going to continue to flood the zones. We're going to be there tonight. We're going to be there tomorrow. We're going to be there every day in the next 4 years, arresting public safety threat illegal aliens. We're not going to apologize for doing it. So we're not going anywhere, Jesse. We're going to do the job the American people voted Donald Trump in office for. We're going to make America safe again, one illegal alien criminal at a time. And this is another reason we need the big, beautiful bill passed so we can hire more ICE agents, get more technology, and help us find these people. Look, we got over 20 million illegal aliens in this country. We got less than 5,000 deportation officers. We're outnumbered. You want more criminals taken off the street? You want more efficient operations? Then they need to pass this bill and fund ICE and fund the Border Patrol to keep President Trump's promise to the American people.
Tom Homan is such a badass. I love it. I love it. He's not backing down. And he shouldn't back down. Because the point he's making is exactly correct. These cities and municipalities like Los Angeles, these progressive hellholes that Democrats have created, have decided that they are going to adopt catch-and-release policies. They do not, in fact, comply with ICE detainer requests. That's the big issue out in these cities. And that's exactly what Tom Homan is explaining. If they were not sanctuary cities and allowed ICE to issue these, ICE issues the detainers, but the local governments and the local sheriffs and the local police ignore the detainer, release the individual back into the public, and that's why ICE is conducting these raids, right? This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Democrats want this to take place, obviously, because the simple solution is allow the federal government to do their job through the ICE detainer process, which, by the way, for all of the bitching and complaining about due process, that's it. ICE has to go in front of a judge and get a detainer request. They don't just magically appear. They follow due process. They go and get a judge to sign off on an ICE detainer, and they've got 72 hours to act on it. Sanctuary cities like Los Angeles, sanctuary states like California, give the middle finger to ICE, give the middle finger to the federal government. And the end result is Tom Homan says, okay, great. Then we're just going to start sending ICE teams into your various communities, going through work sites and wrapping these people up ourselves because you won't allow us to do our job. And it's really that simple. So for all of the pearl clutching, all of the outrage from those on the left, Democrats have lost on the issue of illegal immigration. They lost at the ballot box last November. And now I guess they believe that if they stand up to ICE, stand up to federal officials, that's going to put them back in the good graces of the American people. This is a losing argument for the left. This is a losing political issue for the Democrats. Plain and simple. There's no other way around it. Immigration was one of the largest drivers of the last election cycle. We all know how that went. 7-7 on swing states for President Donald Trump, winning the popular vote as a Republican for the first time in almost 20 years. That doesn't happen magically. That doesn't happen by accident. It's not a fluke that Donald Trump did that. He ran hard on immigration. He called out Joe Biden and the Democrats that were previously at the helm for their lackadaisical immigration policies that have made every single U.S. town and city less safe. We don't need to sit here and recap all of the horrific tragedies that have unfolded at the hands of illegal immigrants. And the point is, not every illegal immigrant is a dangerous, violent criminal. But that's not who ICE is going after. ICE isn't going after random people. These ICE detainers are issued on individuals that are being processed in county or city jails for violent crimes. That's who ICE is going after. That's who they continue to go after. I mean, I read a horrific story yesterday out of Texas. I think it was Texas, about a law enforcement officer that is fighting for his life this morning, who was shot by an illegal immigrant who had been crossed into the United States and deported three times. This was his fourth illegal entry into the United States. He shot and attempted to kill a law enforcement officer in Texas. That guy is fighting for his life this morning in a hospital somewhere in Texas at the hands of somebody who was illegally in the country four different times. And so when those stories get out, when those stories are propagated through media, because they in fact do get out, how can you look at that and say, this is a winning issue for Democrats? This is a winning political issue for the left. The reality is, it's not. They can claim that it is. They can close their eyes and bury their head in the sand and act as if somehow the country's perception of this is going to change. And I'm, by the way, all in favor of them doing that. Because the more that this goes on, the more pushback there is to what is being seen as very popular immigration stances is only going to push more and more people away from the Democrat Party. More and more individuals are going to be divorcing themselves from the Democrats because of what they're watching. Every poll backs it up. The CBS poll on 54% of Americans supporting the deportation efforts. This YouGov poll showing that 45% of people disagree with the protests in Los Angeles. What's the end game here, guys? What is there light at the end of the tunnel? What exactly are you working towards as the Democrat Party to win over the American public on this? The American public on this issue? Is it a controversial one? Absolutely. Is it something that is going to stay prominent over the next couple of years? No doubt. No question about it whatsoever. So how do you plan on seizing the day on this thing? How do you plan on convincing tens of millions of Americans that what you're doing is the right way forward? How do you plan on convincing millions of swing voters in the United States that your policies and your platform is in fact the winning issue? I don't see it right now. I have made the point a couple of times over the last few months, and I'll say it again. The Democrat Party right now is in a free, I believe it truly is in a free fall. You have got a party that has no direction. You have a party that is operating essentially rudderless. And you've got all of these little factions here and there that are trying to pull the party one way or the other. And it's going to end up in what I believe to be a major disaster for the left. And by the way, you know, we talk about President Trump and we talk about his runway as it relates to getting his agenda through before the midterm elections. The Democrats are on that same timetable as well. You can imagine if things like this continue over the next couple of months, what should be, just based on historic norms and math, should be a pretty successful midterm election for Democrats. That's just how midterms are. They could potentially piss all of that away. They could flush that opportunity right down the toilet. And I believe that they're on a crash course for that right now. Because people waking up this morning and opening up their social media, whether it's Facebook, X, Instagram, whatever, and seeing individuals looting Apple stores in downtown Los Angeles last night. People loading up social media and seeing cars burning on the side of the street once again for now the fourth night in a row. That is not something that is going to work in favor of the left. That is not something that is going to be a winning message for their candidates in November of next year. That is not going to be something that they're going to be able to run on and use as a winning political message, a winning political issue. It's a disaster. The Democrat Party is in shambles right now. There seems to be, and I would suspect that there's going to be some element of an internal civil war within the Democrat Party sooner rather than later. Somebody is going to have to rise to power in that party and start taking over the messaging. Somebody is going to have to stand up and project to these individuals protesting in places like Los Angeles that we need to stop doing this. Because if not, we are not going to have a successful midterm. I mean, God forbid for the left if Trump is able to continue to secure and hold the House and the Senate. They thought it was bad now. Give Trump 4 years in the Oval Office and give him a Republican majority in Congress for 4 years. You thought you were pissed off now. You thought you were frustrated with what you were seeing now. You're going to be in for a rude awakening as that situation unfolds. So we'll keep an eye on the situation in Los Angeles as it stands right now. Not really anything super newsworthy happening out there. Trump has put more National Guard members on standby again. They're not roaming the streets of Los Angeles. They're protecting two federal buildings. I would imagine in the next couple of days that you'll probably see this begin to fade out. The left is only going to be able to battle this so much. Gavin Newsom really wasn't all that public yesterday. He sent out some snarky posts on X, but I didn't see any major news conferences with him. The LA mayor attempted to do something last night. She went on CNN, of course, to try and make her case. But I really don't think that this is going to work out in favor of their party. And I would imagine individuals much higher up in the Democrat Party sooner rather than later are going to start making the pitch and the claim to people like Karen Bass and to others that, you know, videos like this of individuals waving Mexican flags, running into an Adidas store and stealing hats and shoes and clothing is really just not something that is going to resonate with the American public. Some lady running out with a bunch of pairs of jeans with her face covered is probably not a winning strategy. This is not a good look for the Democrat Party. I mean, look at this picture. Look at this video. And I'm sorry for the audio audience and the audio listeners. But look at these pictures. Look at these videos and tell me that this is something that is a winning political strategy. Tell me that this is something that you can bring out to the American public and say, vote for us. This is what we stand for. And by the way, I'll make this point real quick before the break. The political implications of this are far worse for the Democrats. Gavin Newsom, who is trying to reinvent himself and seems to be putting himself on the path to run for president in 2028, these pictures are going to come back and bite him in the ass so hard he's not going to be able to handle it. The images of individuals, the pictures of people burning cars in Los Angeles, waving Mexican flags, videos and pictures of people ransacking and looting Adidas and Apple stores. That's exactly what every single campaign ad against Gavin Newsom is going to show. And there's going to be no way to get around it. You can envision the ad right now from every Republican, every conservative group that is going to be involved in the 2028 election. If Gavin Newsom is trying to put himself on the top of that ticket. Those pictures and those videos, I can promise you, will come back and haunt him. The statements and the claims will absolutely come back and haunt him and could have some major political implications for him. And that's why I'm surprised to see that he's taking the approach that he is, where he's telling Tom Homan, oh yeah, come arrest me, threatening the federal government. Nobody wants to arrest you, Gavin Newsom. You're irrelevant. You're a terrible governor in one of the most unsafe, dangerous states in the country. Nobody wants to arrest you. That narrative spin isn't working either. So we'll keep an eye on greater Los Angeles, and we'll track the news there, track the details, and continue to bring you details as it is relevant right here on the Nick Craig Show. I want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington this morning. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group. For over 20 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, they are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or their website lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. The Law Group NC website is phenomenal. They've got a great blog up there, all of their areas of practices. You can see all of the attorneys that work within the Law Group and see their areas of expertise. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We appreciate their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. As we roll on this Tuesday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being here. If you are interested in getting additional content, including daily show notes and our monthly hangout, that'll be coming up here in a couple of weeks. I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig. $5, $10 a month. If you are interested in supporting the show, you can do so financially and get access to those daily show notes and more over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, did you see this situation? It hasn't gotten a lot of major news, but did you see the situation out of Minnesota yesterday where a state representative admitted that she is in the United States illegally? She is a sitting member of the Minnesota legislature and admitted in the chamber yesterday in Minnesota that she is illegally in the United States. Her name is Representative Kathy Vang Herr. She attended a special session of the Minnesota legislature, which was convened yesterday by Democrat Governor Tim Walz, where lawmakers were debating about modifying Minnesota care eligibility for undocumented adult immigrants. While arguments were being made, Herr used the opportunity to share the story of how she arrived in the United States, telling her colleagues that she is an illegal immigrant. This is what she had to say on the floor of the Minnesota House yesterday afternoon.
Because his mother had died, my father, as the one processing the paperwork, put my grandmother down as his mother. And so I am illegal in this country. My parents are illegal here in this country. Because his mother had died, my father, as the one processing the paperwork, put my grandmother down as his mother. And so I am illegal in this country. My parents are illegal here in this country.
Well, that is quite the public comment to make. I am illegally in the country. I'm illegally in the United States. Now, this is bringing forth a plethora of questions. For example, the Minnesota House of Representatives do have qualifications for legislative office, and it reads very explicitly, for somebody to rise to that position and have the ability to run for office in Minnesota, at least as part of the legislature, candidates for legislature must be qualified Minnesota voters when elected. This means that at the time of the general election in early November of even-numbered years, a candidate for legislature must have been a U.S. citizen for 3 months. Well, that might be a problem if she's claiming that she's illegally in the country and is not a U.S. citizen. She would not even be eligible for the position that she currently holds within the Minnesota House of Representatives. Not only is that a problem, there is social media posts that have come forward now from this same representative talking about voting in multiple elections with her and her entire family. She posted this September 21, 2024. Voted early today with my parents. It's our first time together. The journey they traveled and hardships they persevered through is why I have the freedom to be part of this great democracy. Honored to vote honored to early vote rally with Amy Klobuchar and a bunch of other leftists in the state of Minnesota. So she is publicly admitted yesterday that she is illegally in the United States. So that would be a major problem. Now, it's a possibility that she has a green card. There is a possibility that she has some sort of legal status now. But this whole situation seems to be rather interesting. That she is publicly claiming that she is professing it as some sort of winning issue that she's illegally in the country. Now, there's some evidence that she is now since a naturalized citizen. But this is just, it's just an odd situation unfolding. The whole thing is, there's a lot more questions than answers this morning, as Fox News has the has some of the coverage this morning over on their website. Her office officials did not respond to Fox News Digital's request for comments on the matter. Still, her asked her colleagues to give everyone the same opportunity her family had, however they got to the United States. So the whole thing is rather peculiar. But she said, and I quote, "I am illegally in this country." That doesn't sound like somebody that has gone through the process of being a naturalized citizen. If you have a green card, you're not illegally in the country. If you're a naturalized citizen, you're not illegally in the country. Her exact quote, quote, "I am illegally in this country. My parents are illegally here in this country." I didn't say were, are, and am. Those are present text words that you would use to describe a situation. So, not exactly sure what's going to go on with all of this, but just another situation where you've got a pretty serious issue being debated in the case of what was going on in Minnesota yesterday, trying to debate and discuss about, you know, essentially Minnesota Care, which is an equivalent, which is, you know, the state-run version of some sort of a Medicaid or Medicare program, and eligibility for undocumented adult immigrants. And so she took that opportunity to profess how she's illegally in the United States of America. Very, very odd. Then tried to walk it back a couple of hours later and claim that she, in fact, is a citizen. Very interesting situation unfolding. I'm curious how this is going to curious how this is going to play out and if there'll be any national attention on this in the coming days as this situation unfolds. Well, turning our attention to some state/national news this morning, President Donald Trump is set to visit Fort Bragg today to talk with thousands of soldiers and get a firsthand look at what goes on at one of the United States' largest military installations. The president is scheduled to speak at 4 p.m. today. His remarks are open to the public for those who can access the installation. Before the public speech, paratroopers and military equipment will be on hand for readiness demonstrations for President Trump, as well as Pete Hegseth and others that are going to be traveling with the president to observe. And this, of course, is all coming ahead of the major military parade that is set to take place in Washington, D.C. this weekend. That is taking place on Saturday. It is to celebrate the Army's 250th birthday. It's expected that around 130 vehicles and more than 7,000 soldiers are expected to march in the parade that will be happening this weekend. Also taking place this weekend, there was some commentary earlier in our Rumble chat about this, is a weekend in which individuals across the United States are hosting a series of events that they are essentially trying to stand up to President Donald Trump. They're calling it No King's Day. That is the name of the group of protests that are taking place. They are trying to mobilize in cities, in towns, all across the United States. There is slated to be an event here in Wilmington, at the state capitol, in Charlotte, in many, many areas across the United States over the next couple of days as these individuals walk around holding signs that, you know, we don't want a king. Again, not really sure how you convince yourself or try and convince other people that the duly elected president is a king. It's going to be kind of a hard, it's to me, kind of a hard sell. So we'll see if any of those turn violent. I can only imagine at least a few of them will, as some of these Antifa types, some of these left-wing agitators will unequivocally find themselves at these events and find the opportunity to create some sort of chaos or havoc. And it really kind of ties into what we were talking about before the break. What does this party do going forward? How does this party kind of walk some of this back and try and figure out and find a legitimate way to express their viewpoints, to express the issues that they feel are important in a way that actually resonates with the American people? I caught this clip yesterday from Fox News. Britt Hume, who has been a political correspondent for probably 40 years at this point, was on Fox News yesterday afternoon. And I thought he did a really good job kind of talking about it. It was obviously in relation to the ongoing protests, the ongoing unrest and riots in Los Angeles. But I thought he did a really good job at breaking down what's going on right now and how he sees something like this unfolding. Here's Britt Hume yesterday on Fox.
Well, it's of a piece with what all these Democratic California politicians are saying, Jackie. And if you ask yourself this question, you know, what were the main things that got Donald Trump elected president? And one of them was certainly the inability or unwillingness of the previous administration to enforce the nation's immigration laws, resulting in a flood at the border and, you know, our cities and many of our cities being heavily populated with people who have no legal right to be here. That is what ICE is now doing, enforcing the laws by going around and conducting these raids and arresting people who have no right to be here and can legally be deported. For her to call it renegade raids is incorrect. And the other thing about this, Jackie, I don't understand is, I mean, I think people can look at this and tell that when she says these are peaceful demonstrations, well, some may be, but a lot of them are not. And, you know, people do not approve of chunks of concrete and rocks being thrown at cars. They don't approve of cars being set on fire. They don't approve of violence against law enforcement officers. And make no mistake about it, it's not the federal authorities that are federal troops that are in there that are being attacked. It's the local police. And this talk by Nancy Pelosi, the governor, Governor Newsom, and others, Karen Bass, the mayor, gives every appearance that they're on the side of these violent protesters. I think that's a terrible look for Democrats.
It does seem like the responses across the political spectrum are coming from different universes. I want to ask you about the law at the center of all of this, though, from the president's response. It generally bars the use of U.S. military for civilian law enforcement inside the country, but there are key exceptions that allow the military to enforce the law against U.S. citizens include congressional decree, if an insurrection has been declared under the Insurrection Act, or when state governments prove unwilling or unable to impose law and order. How important is it going to be, Britt, to sort of establish the rules of engagement here? Because if there's force used, this could turn pretty different.
It could get pretty ugly. But when the police chief or senior police officer of the L.A. Police Department says we're overwhelmed, that certainly sounds like it's opening the door to the use of U.S. forces to buttress local forces to restore law and order. Which appears to be what's happening. And it doesn't appear that these troops, by the way, are doing any shooting or any arresting. They're basically guarding federal installations out there, which frees up more police that don't have to do that to make the arrests and try to bring about order. I've got to say, Jackie, I mean, I've seen some things in my life that I thought were politically unsustainable. Mm. I think what Democrats are doing and saying about all this is politically insane. I don't think there's anything like a majority support for it. Now, Karen Bass has seen polls that suggest that people do support it. She's the mayor, of course. And she said that if it was local polling, it might be different. But this is playing out before unmistakably a national audience. And I think it's to the detriment of the Democrats and to the Republicans and to the president. It's like picking up money off the street.
And that's exactly that last point there is exactly it. This is politically unsustainable for the left. Britt Hume has been in the game a long time. worked at ABC News in the 80s. He has been around the block. He has seen things like this in the past. And when he makes the comment that this is politically unsustainable and what they're doing is politically insane, I put some serious stock into that. This is a guy that understands the political workings. This is a guy that understands political optics. And the point, echoing the point that I made yesterday, you know, for President Donald Trump, for Republicans that are continuing to push strongly on these immigration efforts, for Republicans that continue to message and beat the drum about immigration, this is the best ad for it that you could possibly imagine. This is playing exactly into the hands of the Republicans. And I don't know why more Democrats, especially, you know, prominent people like Gavin Newsom, who seemingly over the last couple of months has tried to re-envision himself, who has tried to break away from some of the terrible PR out of California, whether it's massive wildfires due to the fact that they don't currently have a sustainable program in place to clean up forests throughout the state, to electrical crises, to people moving out of the state in mass volume, to the out-of-control crime in many of these cities, you know, businesses evacuating the city of San Francisco at record rates because it's so unsafe that no business wants to hire people and put their employees in harm's way. All of this culminating in the state of California. Over the last couple of months, and I've talked about this as well, and I've even encouraged you to try and listen into Gavin Newsom's podcast because he seemingly is trying to reinvent himself. He seemingly is trying to distance himself from these horrific policies out of his home state. And why would he be trying to do that? Setting himself up, obviously, for a presidential run in 2028. It's not going to be Joe Biden. It's not going to be cackling Kamala Harris. They need a new poster boy. Gavin Newsom checks a lot of those boxes and could be a very strong candidate for the left. And it seems obvious that that's the attempt that he's been making over the last couple of months, which is smart. No question about it. If you're going to run for president of the United States, you are going to have to distance yourself from these horrific policies out of your home state. And so what you've seen from him over the last couple of days is the old Gavin Newsom. A guy that is a bleeding heart progressive, a bleeding heart liberal, who I think is making a huge miscalculation as it relates to what's happening in Los Angeles. A guy that is, when all in is said and done, will find himself on the wrong side of this issue politically. That has already happened. The polling data already proves that that's the case. I find it interesting that he wasn't really around yesterday. You know, you had him over the weekend, a couple of press conferences on TV, telling Tom Homan and Trump, you know, come arrest me. I dare you to come arrest me. Then yesterday, relatively silent for the governor of California. And so as, you know, we look at long term, these issues and the political ramifications and the political fallout from it, I guess is the word to describe it. I don't know why he is not being a louder voice against this. And really, maybe the best explanation is the fact that he can't afford to piss off his progressive voter base in California. He's between a rock and a hard place. He needs to try and rebrand and re-identify himself as a more moderate Democrat. But at the same time, the vast majority of his supporters, the vast majority of his base in his home state are radical, wacko, progressive leftists. And so now he's walking this tightrope where he has to figure out where do I go from here? Right? If I cozy too far up to the left, then I shatter this image that I'm trying to build as a moderate. He goes too close to the middle and calls out these individuals for their actions, and the progressives attack him and claim that he's not progressive enough, and he starts losing his base there. So he's in a tight position. I have zero sympathy for Gavin Newsom. This is all a man-made, self-made disaster from himself, the California legislature, and the rest of the radical progressives in that state. Believe me, I have zero sympathy for the California governor. But he is in a very precarious spot as he tries to reimage and rebrand himself, which is obvious what he's trying to do, right? He would not have invited Steve Bannon on his podcast. He would not have invited other more right-wing influencers on his podcast if he wasn't trying to brand himself as a more moderate individual. If he was trying to brand himself as somebody that is open and willing to listen and have serious discussions. That's somebody who is trying to reinvent their image. And he has done a lot of, he's been in the public spotlight more in the last 4 or 5 days than he has in months since the California wildfires. And he, to me, just completely flushed all that attempt to rebrand, re-image right down the drain. So not really sure what his long-term plans are there. But it will be something interesting, something that we'll continue to follow. We'll be watching President Donald Trump, his address here in North Carolina, coming up later today. We'll have full coverage right here tomorrow on The Nick Craig Show. Once again, thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. That does it for the show. Streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.